Hey everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Seller Speak. It has been a while, but we were finding someone really interesting for you to speak to, and we have found the one. Her name is Daniela, and she's here with us today. We are in for a really amazing session filled with puzzles and how you can optimize your listings in just 3 steps. Who knew it was possible, but Daniela here has a foolproof method. So without further ado, let's get started. So we have Daniela here with us today. Hi, Daniela. How's it going?
Hi, doing well. Thank you for having me.
Well, it is our honor to have you here. You're one of my favorite people now to talk about listing optimization. And who knew that it could actually be done in 3 process or like 3 steps? So I'm really excited to understand that. And Seller Speak is exclusively for sellers who have sold on Amazon and have made it on Amazon, like I call it. So Daniela, would you like to start us off with your Amazon journey? How did it start? And how did you find your listing optimization route to Mindful Goods? So let's start with that.
Okay, well, it's actually kind of an interesting story. I'm a 10 plus year marketer. So over 10 years of marketing, I used to have a tech startup. Once I exited my tech startup, I was trying to think of what I wanted to do in marketing in the future. And around that time is when Amazon bought Whole Foods. And I realized that I really wanted to create products in the world. And I didn't necessarily know if they were going to be food products or other kinds of physical goods, but I knew I wanted to figure out the e-commerce route. And so I was blessed to be able to work with my family's business, help them get their products, and they have a brand of food products. So I was able to help them really quickly get up and running on Amazon. But in the process, I realized we hit all of these different roadblocks. And as I was going through all of these roadblocks and pulling my hair out and trying to speak with different agencies and figure out if they could help us and just having these conversations and realizing how expensive these retainers were going to be to get the help that we needed, I just realized that if it's this hard for me and I have these digital skill sets and I pick things up really quickly, it's going to be even harder for other people to be able to do this. And so after I went through that experience and learned really quickly what needed to be done, I started offering those services to other brands as well. And then in the process, we actually learned as much as we could in a short period of time. And then more recently, I ended up launching my own brand of products, which is Lost Walls, jigsaw puzzles for people who love street art. And so that is a product that is on Amazon, is direct to consumer, and it's in stores. And then I also, oddly enough, have a tortilla chip company that's based out of Peru, which is where I live part time, where I'm actually at right now.
That is an amazing story. I mean, I love puzzles myself. I have my puzzle right here. I love puzzles. And how did you, when you were doing your market research, what points did you look at while you were like, you know, settling on selling puzzles on Amazon, and what pushed you towards it? By the way, street art, amazing. I think the street art is dying with a lot of policing that's going on right now. So law street art and wall street art in puzzles is a great idea. But going back to finding a perfect product to sell on Amazon, how did you find your puzzle idea? And congratulations on tortilla chips too. I love tortilla chips, who doesn't? But yes, going back to your puzzles, what did you do?
Sure. So here's the thing, right? I think that there's 2 types of entrepreneurs out there. There's entrepreneurs who are looking for the path to freedom, and they're looking for the quick path to freedom, and they're just going to take a course, follow the steps, find a product, do the research, and launch it. They don't necessarily have an emotional attachment to what they're building, and they're not necessarily building towards a brand, right? Maybe in the future they would expand it and think towards the brand, but a lot of times, and it's not something that they're, you know, really motivated by or emotionally attached to. And then I think there's a second bucket of entrepreneurs who do get emotionally attached to something. They believe that this something should be in the world. They're wondering, why doesn't this exist? Maybe more of like the dreamer type, the inventor type, or just taking 2 things that are quite obviously successful in the world and marrying them together, which is what I've done, right? Like everyone, I mean, so many people love mural art and so many people already love jigsaw puzzles. It's not rocket science to put the two together and help artists in the process. And I'll still also archive the work while we're doing it, right? So once it gets painted over, that's why we called it Lost Walls, is that we're able to archive it and share it with friends and family in the future over and over again. So for me, I'm the second type of entrepreneur. I was emotionally attached to the idea of how much I love mural arts, how much I love jigsaw puzzles, memories of doing jigsaw puzzles with my grandfather and my grandmother as a child. And knowing that I want to invest in something that I believe in, that should be in the world, that will help others and that other people will enjoy and it'll bring joy to their lives for years to come. And so that's what made me decide to do it. I started testing the idea before COVID. And so when I did the research on Amazon specifically, I realized that there was a monopoly on the marketplace. Amazon has strategic relationships with the five major manufacturers of puzzles around the world. So what do you see on page one of Amazon? You see all the generic puzzles that are mass produced that that are basically just dominating Amazon right now because they can produce, you know, hundreds of thousands of them and sell them every year. We were not that. And I realized it was going to be an uphill battle to sell puzzles on Amazon. And that was something that at the time I knew as a business owner who was servicing Amazon brands, it wasn't a wise choice to do, but I did it anyways, right? And so I started testing this model pre-COVID. Then once COVID hit, jigsaw puzzles naturally became one of the top selling products on Amazon. So that really like forced me to kind of reboot and do a version 2.0 of what we were doing, upgrade our packaging, really make sure that we're putting our best foot forward and look at this as a marathon, not just like a short sprint and that we're like lucky with COVID. I really want to keep investing in this in the future. And so that's kind of my philosophy on like going in on your brand and how to choose your brand. You know, like we can do all the research in advance. A lot of brands come to us and they're like, can you validate this for us on Amazon? And we can pull the sales for what's going on in the industry. But at the end of the day, for a lot of brands, unless you're coming like with VC investment, you're not just going to launch and be on the top of page one. So you need to have a longer term strategy and look at it like more of a marathon, you know?
Definitely. Yeah, so I've seen that all, if not all, most Amazon sellers, you need to have a drive, you know, it's the drive that gets you to page one, to the best rank. So I see the drive in you and it's really important for you to have that drive. And of course, the pandemic has done some miracles to most of the brands on there. Amazon has increased close to 48% alone this year because of the pandemic. So kudos to all the sellers who were able to take the benefit out of it. And of course, puzzle is a great, great choice when it comes to selling on Amazon. So moving on to Mindful Goods. So that's the company that you started. So who is it for and what does it do?
Sure. We primarily service CPG brands. So that's food brands. Although we have done beauty, baby, home goods, we've done, you know, across lots of different categories, but for the most part, a bulk of our work is done in CPG. And because we don't offer retainers, brands come to us, whether they're first getting started and want to start selling on Amazon, they just want to get set up correctly with the right SEO and graphics, or they come to us after they've already been selling and they hit a plateau and they see competitors entering their space and they want to make sure that they reinvest in the channel and that they are standing out amongst the competition.
Yeah, and standing out amongst the competition now is, I think, the most important thing to do. Amazon, of course, as it's growing really fast, it's really getting crowded. And to stand out, your listing is, and your product, of course, but your listing is one of the main things that helps you get that click to the add cart button or buy now button. So buy now reminds me, what is your buy now method? And I think it's the three-step listing optimization method. So I think this is the base and the crux of the whole seminar. So let's get into it.
Yeah, so this is a fun topic that I like to explain because I think it's really easy for people to get lost in like the guru terminology or watching all these videos on YouTube or taking endless courses. But really at the end of the day, we can simplify listing optimization into a funnel that's three steps. the first step is your SEO, and that's how you're going to get found on Amazon. And there's other little components that tie into this too, right? Like your reviews, basically your offer in general. So what price point, are you competitive? But let's say those factors come in over time, and let's say your price point is not so competitive. Maybe you're a luxe product and you're never going to compete on price. What does it come down to then? It comes down to your SEO. And a lot of this SEO research can be done in advance. And so when I'm talking about SEO, in the most simplified terms, we're just saying, what are the phrases that people are typing in when they go to Amazon.com or Amazon.uk? When they type in to search for something, you have to remember that they're not just searching for something the way that you as the brand owner would be describing it, right? So if we use, I think I've heard this example used by other people, but it's basically if we talk about, let's say someone's shopping for a mini plastic Christmas tree, right? Well, are they shopping for one with ornaments or one without ornaments? Do they want it to be white or do they want it to be green? Or are they looking for a Hanukkah tree? Or are they looking, you know, like what specifically, how do you specifically break down all the different ways that people in different cultures, in different places might be searching for your product for solving their specific problem, which might be different amongst them, right? There might be three different audiences solving three different problems. So you really need to think through all of that and not just rely on yourself as one data point. And so oftentimes this first step is the one that founders miss because they'll go to set up their listing. They just want to get selling. They go and copy and paste from their website and drop it into Amazon. And then it's crickets. They're just like, why am I not getting any sales? Well, it's because you didn't put any strategic keywords into your listing. So Amazon doesn't know where to put you. And if they don't know where to put you and serve you up to the audience that's on Amazon, then you're just never going to get found, right? So that's the first step. The second step is the one that's probably the biggest low-hanging fruit that I see time and time again, that even the most established brands on Amazon are not doing this yet. And so this is the one that I think everyone should go and do. If they're not doing it today, go and do this. Split testing your main image. Your main image is the second part of the funnel because that's what's gonna help you get the click over everyone else in those search results. So once you're showing up in those results for very strategic niche keywords that are very relevant to your product, how do you make sure of those like 20 results that are showing up on the screen that you get the eyeballs to yours and you entice people enough to click on it? It's done through things like even the orientation of your product, showing the accessories in your product, little things like shadows and what we call eye candy. Like if it's a supplement, is it a pill or a powder? Show the pill or the powder to the side of the bottle. If it's a beauty product, show your beautiful packaging. If it's a food product, can you show a close up of the food? Because people who shop for food, they want to know the texture. They want to, they, it's so much harder to sell food, right? So you have to do as much as you can to make people drool. So all of these things, they matter. And it's just about sitting down with your team and figuring out what's going on in the landscape of our particular category or niche. What are some ideas of how we can stand out with our main image? And then let's go to PickFu and let's test it. And it takes less than an hour and it's super cheap, like less than $100, less than an hour to get 50 Amazon shoppers to tell you which image they would click on and then upload the winner to Amazon. And this test alone, we did this with Yes Bar, a really amazing snack bar company who was already an established seller, and they were able to improve their click-through rate by 11.8% within 2 weeks. So this works. I know. And this works. And this is something that anyone can do. It's not cost prohibitive. It's just a matter of ideation and doing it and testing it. And then side note, if you use PickFu MG, you can get 50% off your PickFu poll. We use them literally for every single client project. So I can't speak highly enough about PickFu. So that's the second step, is testing that main image. The third step, once you've gotten found, once you've gotten the click, how do you get people to purchase? How do you get more sales? How do you get them to buy now? And this is a matter of taking advantage of every opportunity that Amazon is giving you. One of those is brand registry, right? And so brand registry is now, it used to only be open for brands that had a a completely active trademark, but as of a few months ago, it's now open for brands that even have a pending trademark. So within, yep. I've seen it in within 48 hours, you can get access to brand registry. On average, it tends to be anywhere from 10 to 14 days, but I've seen it in less than 48 hours. So if you even just apply for a word mark and you get rejected 8 months from now, you'll have that 8 months to figure that out. But at least you're selling with brand registry. And what brand registry gives you is advanced advertising features. But the pieces that I love the most are the A+ content, which I know you wanted to talk about, and storefronts. And so let's talk about A+ content. A+ content, Amazon says, and just to explain to people what this is, if you go onto any Amazon listing and you scroll down on the page and you see these big banners, that's A+ content. And what most people don't realize is you can have up to 7 of those, what they call modules. Each banner is a module, right? Imagine stacking 7 of those on top of each other. You can basically create your own landing page with inside of the product listing. And why does this matter? Because inside of your product page, there's so many distractions going on with all these other people advertising on your page. So any chance that Amazon gives you to reclaim that space on your product page, you want to take it back. And so brand registry and A+ content is one of those ways. The second thing is your product images. Oftentimes people will just upload product on white. They'll just, again, go to their Dropbox. They will just not think through all of the questions that a shopper might have. And as soon as you can answer all of those questions and you can compel them to buy through persuasive copy and really standing out through like what makes you guys very unique or your brand very unique, soon as you can do that, a shopper will buy. And so use all the opportunities in the product images. We do what's called showing and telling on every single image. In your bullets, you're usually defining all the key points that you're trying to convey about your product. Well, your product images should reflect that in a show and tell quality, right? Showing, you know, if you're talking about this is how easy it is to clean, show someone, you know, show the steps of cleaning with, you know, a beautiful image of the product clean, you know, or someone had just cleaned it or someone cleaning it. Figuring out a way to show and tell at the same time on every single image is the way that you're going to sell all the way down the page, right? You can do this in your product images. You can do it in your A+ content. And you can also tell your whole brand story in your storefront. The other thing that I see that works really well in terms of content, if we're talking specifically what works well for food brands, your second or third should always be not just a photo of the back of your product. Yes, all shoppers want to know the nutritional facts, but you don't have to just take a photo and show the back of the product. Use the nutritional label on the side and then build in custom iconography that explains where paleo friendly, we're this, we're that, you know, whatever trends you fall into, you want to build trust along the way. If your product is distinguishing itself from the competition, do an us versus them. Meaning our product has low sugar, it has low carbs, it has this, it has that. Their products have at least 20 grams of sugar, this, and that, right? Like paint yours as the winner above everyone else's. In your A+ content, that's a great place to be telling your brand story. And not enough brands right now are tying in the human element to their brand story. And we've had time and time again, messages from customers that have said, I bought this because I saw that you gave back to animal welfare. I bought this because I saw that you're two sisters who founded this company and I want to support more female founders. I bought this because you're a Black-owned business and I want to support more Black-owned businesses. Like these things matter today. And in a climate where people are, you know, 50% of people are still, you know, hating on Amazon, we want to show people that we're real humans behind these brands. Yeah. You know, I'm your next door neighbor. I'm not just some person who's just bringing something from China, you know, and changing the color. I believe that this thing should be in the world. I'm your next door neighbor and I'm trying to, you know, start this small business. So that's the kind of messaging that I think it is missing a lot of times. We want to just like take these pretty pictures and just upload them and think that things are going to magically sell. But we have to remember that there's real humans who are buying these products, and they want to know if there's real humans who are selling them too.
Right. And adding on to that, I think I did like a study with Emma, and we realized that Black Rifle Coffee, who was priced higher than normal coffee that you see on Amazon, had higher sales because it was a veteran-owned brand, and they made sure that the A-plus content said it, Amazon storefront said it, their listing said it, their images said it. So even if you price your product higher, if your product has a good brand story to back it up, and if it's shown everywhere on your listing, you are in higher chance to make a sale. So thank you for bringing that up, Daniela.
That's actually such a great point too, is repeating content. Everyone's afraid to repeat content, but you have to remember, sometimes people don't read the bullets. They skim maybe the first one and the last one. They might look at three images at the top. They might, and then by the time they get to your A plus content, it's okay to repeat the messaging, because sometimes you just want to hit them over the head with the things that matter most, that you know are going to close the sale. You know, and so like I was just talking to a founder the other day, who she had all of these problems with the first version of her product. And so she went back to her manufacturer, she fixed all these issues. Now she's launching version two. And she's just like, how should we communicate this? I'm like, everywhere. You need to communicate it everywhere, because you want to tell customers that you listened, that you heard what they were saying, that you fixed the problem, you have a new and improved version, and you want to make sure that message hits home everywhere and that they don't miss it. Because as soon as they hit the reviews and they see that people weren't happy at some point, they might think that you never fixed the problem.
Definitely. And I think, you know, your business is bigger than Amazon. So, you know, you have to keep in mind that, you know, Amazon is just not the platform that you're going to be selling. And of course, it is a first stepping stone for your business. But you have to think like a bigger picture for your brand. So, of course, you know, when you're talking about brand messaging, go beyond Amazon. And if you have your own website, make sure that it's in sync with Amazon as well. So, Daniela, Yeah, so now that we're talking about missing out on points, what according to you have sellers done that, you know, kind of ruined their listing? So what are like the three biggest mistakes that you have seen sellers make since you go through so many listings on like day-to-day basis?
Oh my gosh. Okay, so there's... By the way, we offer what's called a mini audit on our website, because I noticed so many founders out there, they just need someone else to look at it and give them the pointers on what they need to do. Like, just give me the top five of what I need to do right now. So we offer that on our website. But what I will say is that most often founders who come to us have a couple different issues. One, they never put this thought into it in the beginning. They just copy and pasted what they had, which they thought was good enough, without realizing what a search engine Amazon is, right? And so that's the first critical mistake. The second mistake that I see is that they DIY it and do something wrong. So for instance, I had a founder come to me the other day and was listed. I mean, it's a supplement. Okay. It's a supplement product, but was listed in a costume category for clothes. Oh, like costume.
How does that happen?
And so it's these little things that, you know, and as a founder, you probably thought you set it up right. So you're sitting there going like, what is going on? Why am I not getting any sales? You know, and yes, that can happen anyways, even if you set everything up right. But most of the time you should be getting at least some organic sales in the beginning, because Amazon wants to give most brands the benefit of the doubt and they boost brands in the beginning, right? So those are two of the most critical mistakes. And then lastly, I think the third bucket is when brands, they get off to the races selling and they hit some luck, right? Because they're in a trending category, their product is high in demand just naturally. So they did well on their researching their product, right? And then they hit a plateau and they start to wonder like, okay, what's going on, you know, or something goes wrong and they start missing sales, you know? And so it's basically what's happening there is that they never refreshed their listing. They just kept thinking that whatever they did was going to keep helping them grow moving forward. And if they never put in any of these SEO terms, or they never listened to the feedback that they were getting on their product and started addressing that in the content, then, you know, you are going to plateau, and your competitors are going to see that, and they're going to use that research that your customers gave you, and they're going to build it into their listings. So, you know, those are some of the things that are just like the pitfalls that anyone can run into, right? I think people can do this themselves. But again, it comes back to that question of like, are you the person who wants to be running your Amazon pages like forever? Like, do you look at yourself as like wanting to learn the ins and outs of Amazon, or are you just wanting to like get it done right and get up and selling? And so at the end of the day, like, that's the kind of lens that I look at in everything in my business. And what helps me make hiring decisions is, you know, am I at the end of the day going to be running my own Facebook ads? Am I going to be running my own social media? Am I going to be doing all these things? And if the answer is no, then I'm like, okay, then today I need to come up with a plan to find someone that fits my budget that is going to help me get this problem solved. You know?
Definitely. Yeah. Those were some really good tips that you gave us. And we are joined by, what is his name?
Chanchito.
It means piggy. He's also a listing optimization expert, and he wanted to come here and give you two bits of his mind. So he just told me that a lot of sellers do not track their keywords and where they're getting indexed on your listings. So you can switch over to Seller App's product intelligence tool, where we tell you which keywords are listed where in your listings. And it is Chanchi approved. So maybe you should go check that out.
Yes, Chanchi approves of this message. That's actually a great point that you made, because one of the things for especially experienced sellers or sellers that have been selling for more than 6 months and selling well, when you do decide to make these changes to your listing, you do want to reverse engineer your listing to understand what's working. And Definitely. So this is where an app like Seller App comes in, because it can give you the data to tell you what's indexed so that you can not touch that. And then anything that is broken, you can fix that, you know? And so if you have a title, for instance, that's working, you wouldn't want to delete the whole title. You would want to only change maybe the end of the title where you can kind of adjust things. But if you have main keywords in your title that are converting, that you can see that are indexed and maybe see that they're converting, then you wouldn't want to touch that at all, right? And same thing throughout your bullets, throughout your backend search terms, all of that. Anything that's indexed, just don't touch it. Tweak the things that are not working. Or if you're going to start strategically going after other keywords, you can put them in, you know, later in your title. You know, what you don't want to do is refresh everything at the same time and not know what's working and what's not. So for instance, if you like with YesFar, for instance, we isolated the one change first on the main image. We only updated the main image. We didn't touch anything else on the listing, because they were already an established seller. So we didn't want to mess with too many things at once, right? We wanted to validate that what we were doing, even though we had the data from PicFu, we wanted to validate on their account that it was working. And so that's why we made just that one change. And then we went through and made other changes.
Definitely. And I've seen a lot of sellers, especially beginner sellers, make listing changes like, frequently, your listing takes at least 15 days to get indexed. So I would not suggest you touch your listing throughout this Q4. Because if something is working for you or is going to work for you, and if you change it, Amazon is just going to take their own sweet time to index your listing. Make sure you don't update it regularly. Periodically, yes, but not like every month, I would say. What do you think about that, Franchi and Daniela?
I agree. You know, the other thing is, when you're first getting started, when you're a net new account, right? You have not sold on Amazon before. You're just setting up your listings for the first time. Go for it. And remember, you're not gonna be able to search for your brand name that nobody knows inside of Amazon and automatically be indexed. Like, we have clients that are like, how come I can't search for my own brand? Well, it takes time to get indexed. Definitely. And it's not like you're, you know, if you're not a well-known established brand, you're not going to show up in the results right away. It's going to take a little bit of time to drive some traffic, show some purchase behavior, right? And you might need to drive your own traffic to show that purchase behavior. So, but it will happen over time. The other thing is, when a listing is completely broken and you just realize, like, we don't even know what we did. We were messing with it way too much. Now we're not getting any sales. We're just like, we're at a loss. At that point, it's like, okay, let's just rip off the Band-Aid and do the whole refresh, you know? So that's the way I kind of look at it. And if you are selling well, that's when you need to be a little more careful.
Amazing. And I think one of your clients were featured by Amazon. Can you tell us more about that?
Yeah, we're actually super blessed because we have Amazon sending us clients directly as a result of the work that we've done in the past. And one of those clients was actually an Amazon Fresh brand who was actually featured by Amazon in a case study that they sent out to all of the Amazon Fresh brands because they want more. Here's the thing. Amazon wants more brands to stand out. They want more brands to pay attention to their listings and optimize their listings. And so what they did is they made a 3-page PDF from the work that we did that basically said, like, here's all the things that are exemplary is what they called it, you know? And so they highlighted title, bullets, product images, A+ content. Specifically, they started calling out all of the things that I just shared here on this podcast. But if anybody wants the PDF, you can message us through our website and I'm happy to share it with anybody. Or we can create a special download for your audience and they can go to that URL and download it. So we can drop that link to you.
Yeah, definitely. Check the description box below to access to the link where you can find the PDF. And we love making things super simple for you. And that's why I love Seller Speaks, to be honest. So thank you for answering that question, Daniela. So moving on to the next and the last question for today's session. What are the available listing optimization tools that are available for sellers out there?
Okay, so there's great apps, obviously. Great plug for Seller App. But you guys also offer your own services as well. So you can get your listings done through Seller App. You can get your listings done through Mindful Goods. But aside from us, we think we're great. So here's the thing. You can go to Fiverr. If you are, and this is, I would recommend it for people who are savvy and know, and like, for instance, if you went to our website and you have downloaded our buy now guide and you know exactly what you want, what you need, what needs to get done, and you're on a shoestring budget and just need it done, I understand that that entrepreneur doesn't have the resources to come and spend a couple $1,000s to work with Seller App or to work with Mindful Goods. If you just need to get going, I totally understand that you can use a tool like Canva if you're a designer. You're a designer and you're comfortable doing it, do it. And then maybe you're only paying for the SEO research, which is maybe something that you're not comfortable with, you know? And again, you can come to Seller App or Mindful Goods. But the thing you have to be careful with is when you go on some place like Fiverr and you don't know Amazon terms of service and you build content that is not compliant with Amazon's terms of service and then you upload it to your account. That's something you have to research your category, understand terms of service, and make sure that you're telling your designer that you hired exactly what you can and can't do. You can't expect a designer to know that. So that's a really important step. And those are the kinds of things that are out there right now. There's done-for-you services, there's working with your own designer, there's working with Fiverr, but you have to know what each is gonna entail. The people who have used Fiverr are typically getting a little bit, it's lower budget, a little bit lower quality, and it's a lot of back and forth revisions. But can it be done? Absolutely. It's just a matter of identifying where you are and how much resources you're willing to put forth to get to the next step.
Definitely. That was very well said. And if you are looking for, how you can create your first Amazon listing, we have made a video on that. The video will be on the screen right now. So go check that out. We talk about your image compliances, the dimensions, the sizes, and everything there. So rush over there after this video if you are planning to create your first listing. A peace of mind that I usually give sellers is, of course, Fiverr is cheap. But since your product photography is an integral part of your listing, I would suggest you go and get them done professionally and not try to click them at home, because I've seen a lot of listings get banned on Amazon.
Absolutely don't do that.
Yeah.
I do have a pro tip. So in the past, you could use what's called a product on white photography studio. And that's basically you ship your product to a photo studio and they'll shoot your product on white, which is fine. What we've been talking about, you and I, today is taking it to the next level and using lifestyle imagery so you can show and tell, right? And sometimes doing that kind of shoot is cost prohibitive. Until now, when you have a company like Suna. Have you heard of Suna?
I have not, but I'm guessing it's something to do with influencers using your products.
No. Influencers are great, and there's other tools for that. But influencers are expensive, right? We use a couple different influencer apps. Ends up being about $100 to $200 per influencer, right? So that can be cost prohibitive. And when you're just trying to get started and get some great imagery, Suna, S-O-O-N-A, is a photo studio that does lifestyle photography, and you only pay for the images that you like. And the best part is each image is only $39. So it's a home run. So I highly recommend Suna. If you use the code Mindful, by the way, you get one free image, and your photo shoot basically costs you nothing, right? So you get to be on the shoot virtually. Oh, he's having a moment.
He's excited too.
Yeah. Okay. So Suna is the place to go. You can buy one image, or you can buy all the images. You can come back and buy the images later. So I highly recommend checking them out.
Yeah. I mean, that just makes your life cheaper and easier. Who knew that it could be possible? But this whole Seller Speak has been about how your life can be easy. So thank you so much for that amazing session, Daniela. Let us know in the comment section below what you thought of the session and what you think of this three-step process. And of course, if you have any questions, leave them in the comment box below. We will get to them right away. Check out our listing optimization videos right here. We will also add a playlist towards the end, so you know how to do your SEO listing optimization. And if you're looking for keyword research for your PPC campaigns, you can do that as well. So of course, I had a great time with you, Daniela. Until the next time, everyone, happy selling.